All right, everybody. Did you watch the Brad Pitt movie? The Brad Pitt Space Wars movie, Ad Astra. We're going to talk about it today. So, just know that we're going to spoil the plot. So, if you haven't seen it yet, and you care about such things, go watch it and come back. I thought it was a great movie, personally. And here's the themes. The themes are propaganda, creating reality out of media, magic on the screen, if you will, the evolution of man, and nerds ruining our lives. That's what we're going to talk about, because that's what the movie was all about. So again, it's going to get spoiled. Before we get into that, I want you to hear a little message. This is a quick message from a friend of the show here, my main man, Billy Ray Valentine. Check it out. I'll hit you right on the flip side of this.
Hey, what's going on? How's everybody doing? My name is Billy Ray Valentine from the Infinite Fringe. Greetings to all of you. We're putting on an event right here in New York City, ladies and gentlemen, October 20th. Not too far away from Madison Square Garden. Okay, come check it out. Crow 777 and Jason Lingram are going to show their movie, Shoot the Moon, and a Q&A after that. But not only that, we have Mark Devlin coming down from the UK to give a talk. I got Mark Devlin here with me right now. Mark, say what's up to the people and let them know what's going down.
Hey, Billy Ray. Hey, everyone. Really looking forward to this event. I've been to New York City so many times over the last 25 years. The place just keeps drawing me back like a magnet. I used to come to buy vinyl records there. I've DJed there a few times. I've been as a tourist, but this will be the first time that I've been there presenting one of my talks. And so I'm very excited for this event. My presentation is going to be titled Music's Mind Control and Military Connections. And anyone that's already familiar with my work will know there's no shortage of information to get into there. I'm going to be putting a New York twist on it, and I'm going to be specifically looking at various music scenes that have grown up in the city, such as hip hop, the punk scene, and the disco scene. So I'm very much looking forward to getting into it, and I'll be putting across information that I've not presented in previous talks. So looking forward to seeing everyone there. It's going to be a fantastic afternoon, very well spent, loads of other great speakers on the bill, and some mind-blowing information to send people away with.
Absolutely. Crow 777, Jason Lingram in the flesh, in person. Mark Devlin, not only that, we got Wayne McCroy coming down, the author of The Alchemical Tech Revolution, and John Brissom coming down. We've read the documents and Fix Your Gut, and they will be giving talks as well. It's an all-day event, October 20th. Go to eventbrite.com and search out Shoot the Moon NYC. You'll find it there. $30 is all we're asking for an all-day event. I want to see you there. Thank you for Isaac for letting us air this on his airwaves. Thanks, Isaac.
All right, if I was out in New York area, I would 100 go check out Shoot the Moon. So check it out if you got the means to get there. So before we get into Ad Astra, I do want to give some big ups to all you folks dropping the reviews on Amazon for The Dark Path, my book, my favoriteest book I wrote. If you ain't up on Tings, I got a great book about this whole agenda on Amazon, on Audible. And it's called The Dark Path. Cheryl said it changed her life. Big ups to Michelle. She said, I go so deep. Her words, not mine. Okay. Let's keep our minds out of the gutter, folks. Disco Lemonade defended the topics. And big ups to Henry VIII Jr. and Susie. I do appreciate the reviews. That actually helps a ton with the Amazon stuff. So if you've read The Dark Path, go drop that review on Amazon. I like reading them. Okay, let's get into Ad Astra, and the reason we're talking about it today is because I watched it last night. Watched it last night right next to the screening of The Joker. I wanted to go see The Joker, but my ear was tuned in listening for an assault rifle unloading rounds because the Joker movies bring out all the nerds, all the cuck beta nerds. What are they called? The incels. That's what we're being told. The incels are a threat to the movie theaters right now. Terrifying. Because if you recall back when the Batman, one of those Batmans with Bane, that's when Homeboy shot at the Aurora, Colorado Theater. Terrifying. Terrifying. And on a metaphysical level, the Joker, of course, is represented by the tarot card of the Fool, the Magician. And I'm going to talk a little more about the Joker after I watch it. But we're going to talk about the movie Ad Astra, because Stephanie on the Patreon feed wanted to know. Stephanie said, Isaac, you got to see the movie. Tell me what this is about. So, and I kind of wanted to see the movie. I like space movies. So we're going to talk about how, and again, last chance, spoiling the plots. We're going to talk about how this is an example of media creating reality propaganda films. Although I would argue, and hear me out, I would argue that propaganda is not always wrong. It's not always bad. Because as you will hear when I destroy the plot for you, I feel Brad Pitt's character's pain here. His name is Roy in the movie. Terrible name of a masculine astronaut hero, Roy. And of course, this film was released by Disney, the new overlords of our pop culture. But the whole movie, it's propaganda. And Disney, they're the creators of the topic, the theme of making magic, making reality, causing change in conformity with the will. So the change they're seeking to bring about is getting rid of toxic masculinity. That's right. That's right. And we're going to get into all that. That's the first topic. The second one is the evolution of man, a concept you are very familiar with if you've listened to my rants before. And number three, these nerds ruining our lives. I'm a strong advocate of bringing back bullying. It forces... I'm just kidding. But seriously, though, am I, though? That if we had more bullying, there might be less incels, because we're told not to pick on these incel-type people, so they never understand how to pick up chicks. They need a little toxic masculinity in their life to get them... Go to the gym. Go work on your personality. Learn how to talk to a woman. Instead, we say, oh, just accept everybody for who they are. And they never learn to grow. Relationships force you to grow. They force you to evolve. That's what marriages and relationships are all about. Compromise, learning about yourself, looking in the mirror to try to perfect yourself, which I must throw the caveat, one cannot be perfected. That's what the Illuminati occultists want to believe. But that doesn't mean progress shouldn't be pursued. I don't want to get too soapboxy here. This is a quick, fun show. But those are the three topics. And let me give you a very brief rundown of the movie ahead of time in case you didn't care to see it or you don't plan on seeing it. But basically, the movie is about, it's in the near future, and we've already colonized the moon and Mars, and Brad Pitt's character is an astronaut badass, and his dad was an even older astronaut badass, and he went out to find alien life on a ship. They made it all the way to Neptune. They lost the signal. So Brad Pitt has to go all the way from Earth to Mars in order to make the communications link with the ship out of Neptune where Papa Bear is. And he goes on a journey of self-realization in the process. And I'm going to tell you what happens in the end by the end of the show. But the evolution of man is a theme you see with the occult. And again, I'm not here to judge. I think everyone needs to evolve a little bit. Don't need to go to perfection, the number of perfected man. But the movie, it starts out, you'll see, just like 2001 A Space Odyssey. You see the star child is Brad Pitt. You see him in his astronaut helmet looking at the Earth, just like the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey. You see the eclipses of the Earth and such, just like 2001. A very clear reference. Ad Astra, the title, actually means to the stars, which is also the name of the academy that Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 started to find alien intelligence. So, could it be? In the past, I've always said Disney is pushing the alien agenda, making us believe in aliens, whereas this film kind of flips that on its head. They're looking for the aliens. But the truth is, that's not where one can find contact with God. Sort of. I mean, that's kind of a stretch. And we'll get into that when we get to the ending here. We find out also that Brad Pitt had a failed marriage because he was too career-oriented, too worried about doing space stuff. And his wife, played by old Liv Tyler, who was also in Armageddon, was she not? Married to the astronaut Ben Affleck, I think is how that went. Her name is Eve. Very curious choice. So what I'm saying is Eve will play the role as the consort of the first man, the evolved man, because by the end of the movie, Brad Pitt comes back to Earth, evolved, enlightened. His dad, Tommy Lee Jones, plays the character. He has a dumb name, too. It's like Clifford or something. In the future, I guess we choose poor names. My apologies to all the Roys and Cliffords out there. I'm sure you're great. But his dad, old Papa Bear, he like I said, he traveled out in the spaceship and lost contact like 13 years prior. And they don't know where he's been. They thought he was dead. But his ship has been shooting out solar blast of antimatter that's wreaking havoc on Earth. And that's why NASA, or the U.S. Space Command, sends Brad Pitt out to Mars, because he's got to put an end to it, right? He's got to save the planet because the solar blasts are doing whatever they do. And you hear Brad Pitt talk about how his dad was the first man to Jupiter and the first past Saturn, and then nothing. Well, what's he saying there? He's implying he never made it to Neptune. That was the goal, right? And he did, in fact, make it to Neptune. But at that point in the movie, they did not know. But he says he ends it with the last thing his father did was pass Saturn. Saturn, of course, being symbolic, because that is what we saw in the movie Interstellar. Again, about the evolution of man through the cosmos, where they find salvation through the black hole out by Saturn. For the record, I thought Interstellar was a better movie than this, if I had to rank. It's two different things, actually. I don't think you can compare the two. Just depends on what you're looking for, what kind of movie you're looking for. And then another element that ties into this evolution of man concept. Roy, Brad Pitt, he is, you know, like I said, he's going back to Mars to make the contact with Papa Bear out in Neptune. And when he's in there, he's reading the script that NASA or the Space Command handed him, which is very vanilla. It's very much like, we need you to, send message back, whatever, whatever. And he's doing this every day, every day, every day. No response, no response. And then he breaks character a bit. And he sends a message out to space to his dad, talking about how they used to watch these movies together, these black and white musicals. And a little tear drops. But then it looks like the control center there gets a message back from Papa Bear. But then they, of course, sort of lie to Brad Pitt and tell him, oh, no, that was nothing. Your work here is done because you broke the mission here, because you should have stayed very stoic and conformed to saying only the script given to you, instead of using your emotions, which we're going to talk about next with the toxic masculinity concept. But he does this, and then they confine him. They are like, oh my God, you're feeling emotions. You're unstable. But then he escapes, and he finds someone, this woman, who gets him into this rover that she drives him out to this rocket. And the rover is clearly marked number 34. Now, speaking of like numerology, why is that important? Well, you hear him say, right before he gets out of the rover, He says he's going further past the sun, closer to you, Dad. Or referencing his dad. And again, I just kind of write this stuff down. I can't really... It's not like I'm at home where I can jot all this down and rewind and all that. So it's paraphrasing a little bit. But he talks about going further past the sun to get closer to his dad. Well, 34 is one number above 33. But the Freemasons believe that 33 is the highest number that one can ascend to because no one goes above God. With God being at the number 33, and that's based on like the zodiac and the sun's movement and such. So when he's in number 34, he gets out and says he's going past the sun. To me, I see a lot of Freemason occult influence there. And not to mention, when he gets out of that rover, what he's doing, he's going over to this rocket called Cepheus, because Cepheus is the rocket that's actually going to shoot out towards Neptune. Because once they find the location, they're on a mission to nuke it. I know, it got crazy real quick, right? But basically, Brad Pitt's, he's talking out to space. His dad responds. Then they're like, oh, we found him. Go nuke him because his antimatter stuff's killing everybody. So Brad Pitt, he escapes and he runs over to the Cepheus rocket. And Cepheus is Greek mythology, is the grandfather and the grandson, the mythology of two kings. So again, you've got this sort of father-son connection here, which leads us to the second topic, toxic masculinity. Yep, I said it. Not a popular idea among the conspiracy community, but you're on here to stay woke, and I'm here to keep you woke. And you clearly hear in the movie, because what happens is Brad Pitt, he gets on the Cepheus rocket, and he ends up making it all the way out to Neptune to meet his father. And when right before he meets his father, you hear him sort of narrating, and that happens throughout the film. And he says, the sons suffer the sins of the father. So there's lots of things that point us towards this idea of the toxic masculinity, because, you know, when they introduced Brad Pitt's character, he was the embodiment of what a real man is. Stoic, compartmentalizing, feeling no emotions. Work always comes first. Work conquers all, I believe is the term they use. Just like his dad. Because his dad turned his back on his whole family to go out to space to find the aliens. Because a real man has to do his work. His dad was obsessed with this idea of intelligent life, yet wasn't worried about actual humans or his actual family. And we talked about this idea last year when I broke down the film Bird Box on Netflix, Sandra Bullock. It's a very similar concept. It's about the real connections to be had here on Earth and the importance of them. Now, when we talk about the toxic masculinity, the idea, so like, if you don't know anything about toxic masculinity, let me give you my understanding of it. It's the idea that what's an ideal man in male society here doesn't feel emotions, is very stoic, thus that's toxic in the sense that they don't let their emotions out. They bottle everything up. And that's why there's high rates of suicide and violence and all that stuff, is because men aren't good at communicating, or communicating emotions especially. Emotional intelligence is very low, because it's not part culturally acceptable for that sort of thing. Unlike females, or so the theory goes, unlike females that are more social, right? Men are the hunter-gatherers, and that's their focus. So that's why men get consumed with their careers at work. And when they get home, they can't warm up to the family. And if you ask me, that is toxic behavior. I don't agree with that. Now, does that mean we should throw it all out the window? Absolutely not. There is value in toxic masculinity, just like there's value in bullying. Oh, boy, this is cringy, right? But there's value in it. every society needs male warriors. Every society, every workplace needs the guy who's staying late every night getting things handled. But you have to understand that comes at a price to that man. So, and I mean, it's like when you see all these propaganda films about how great the military is and everyone's saluting the heroes and all that stuff. Well, I mean, you kind of need that because, like, if everybody shat on these men and women that serve, well, then what's left in it for them, right? It's not a fun job. I've done it. I've done it before. 4 years active duty. It's not a fun job. It's very terrible. It tears you away from your family all the time. Family life is very unstable, unpredictable, anxiety all the time. It's not an easy life. But guess what? Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. So like all these hipster, vegan, woke, granola, OG granola wokers pushing this beta cuck stuff. Like, I get what they're saying. It is unhealthy. The idea of a modern day masculine man is not necessarily great for the men or their families. But I'm just saying we can't throw it all entirely away. Some men, you need to be stoic. When there's an emergency, you don't want dad running around with his hair on fire, scared, right? Someone's got to keep it together. And I'm not saying a woman couldn't be the one to have that role. I'm just saying, you know, and I don't have kids. Like, me and Mrs. Wiseout don't have kids. But I would assume that, like, if there was some kind of emergency happening at the house and the kids were scared, you can't have mom and dad running around with their hair on fire scared. Someone's got to hold it together, right? All right. Anyway, that's my soapboxy toxic masculinity talk. And that's basically the problems of Brad Pitt and his father and their relationship. Let's get into the nerds. These nerds, man. Oh, I tell you. Now, Papa Bear thought there was aliens, but he ended up lonely. He's out there in this ship by himself for like 13 years. And in the movie, you hear him say he missed what was right in front of him the whole time. His own family. And this is exposing the perils of the science fiction entertainment. It deceives us, which is very ironic because the movie itself is science fiction. So dad suffers. So did the lady on Mars that helps Brad Pitt's character get away. Helen Lantos is her character's name. And she basically says she'd rather die than stay there on the nonsense Mars nerd world. And it's like all this space travel stuff. Like, why? Like, Earth is great. What are you talking about? I don't want to go to the moon. I don't want to go to Mars. Let's just keep this planet going, right? It's beautiful. It's great. It's got everything we need. Why everyone's worried about populating Mars? Roy, Brad Pitt, he finds his dad on this ship. And he's trying to connect with the guy. And, like, you know, that generation's like very... You want to talk about toxic masculinity, you go to the boomers and older, like that's it gets more toxic as you go back, right? Because it's a different culture. That's a harder culture. They're a lot tougher with certain things. And I acknowledge that. I'm a softer generation than my parents. And so Brad Pitt's talking to dad, like, dad, come on, let's go back to Earth. He's like, okay. And he gets him outside. And they're connected by this tether. And that's where that's where it gets real emotional. And Papa Bear's like, he's forcing himself to detach from Brad Pitt. So Brad Pitt eventually has to succumb to that and let him go with all of his toxic masculinity, hurtling all the way to Neptune to die. And we know Papa Bear had the toxicity because he directly tells Brad Pitt that he never cared about him or his mother. All he cared about was finding aliens. Is that not disturbing? Yes, indeed. Toxic overload. He had toxic shock syndrome in his brain. So yeah, that's what the movie's all about. And then Brad Pitt does a fantastic job in this movie. He's he's mourning the loss of that, but you see the realization. He has the moment of self-realization. He's evolved out there as the Star Child, and he basically goes back to Earth, and he rights all of his wrongs, or so we're led to believe. And that's basically it. That's the whole film. But I'm going to throw out one more idea before I let you go here. Another idea is that maybe, and I'm going to float this theory, maybe Brad Pitt actually had a mental breakdown while he was stuck on Mars. That's kind of what I thought when I was watching it. I thought this was all going to be like a dream sequence. Because what happens is, like I said, he goes to Mars and he's reading the script from Spacecom, and he's doing that every day. But eventually he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go for the emotion. And he's like, Dad, I remember when you and I used to watch these black and white movies, blah, blah, blah. And then he kind of is crying. He's kind of feeling the emotion for once. And then that's when they're like, no, get out of here, bud. Get your emotional ass out of here. Crying like a baby. And I argue. So they're like, okay, you're done here. You got to go back to Earth. So he has to take these psychological evaluations, right? And it's this computer that listens to your voice, your pitch, your tone, and determines whether you're rational or not. And he keeps failing it. He keeps failing it because he's too emotional. Because in the future world, of course, emotions aren't good. That's every utopian or dystopian future world. And so I argue that maybe he never made it off Mars. The rest was an entire fantasy. Fantastical. After the point that he heard back from his dad and they wouldn't tell him what the message was. Like, for instance, the first thing that happens after that is he escapes and he climbs up the rocket boosters and kills everybody on board this ship. Like, the whole movie is science fiction, don't get me wrong, but like, it seemed to really take a leap there. And at the end of the film, he comes back to Earth and he kind of smiles when he sees people opening the door. It's like, okay, he's evolved, turning over a new leaf. And you see him, he's kind of narrating like how he's better now. And he goes to a diner to meet Eve again. Like, they're going to reconcile again. He is like Adam. He's the first evolved man. She is Eve. But then he's narrating from the astronaut suit and they kind of zoom in on him. And it turns out he's doing a psych eval. This is what it looks like, because he's got this little white chip thing on his neck that everyone wears when they do the evals. So I argue that he's actually in Mars that whole time, trying to get back to Earth, trying to prove to the AI that he's rational. That's just my two cents. I don't know if that's true or not. But to me, the clear takeaway is the evolution of man here. Brad Pitt, he goes to Neptune to evolve. It's in 2001 Space Odyssey, astronaut Bowman, he went to Jupiter in the film, Saturn in the book, of course. Saturn, very important. But he comes back the new man. And in this one, he comes back the emotional man, cleansed of the toxic masculinity. And what was curious to me, a little side note, a little personal side note, I actually picked up on this like right away, myself being very knowledgeable about toxic masculinity, big fan myself. And, because I went through a similar experience as Brad Pitt. I went to space. I went to Mars. No, I'm just kidding. My father, he passed away several years ago. But, like, I had a hard time connecting with him. And, I saw him in hospice before he died. And, you know, even towards the end, it seemed kind of like I kind of wanted to sort of make a bond. Not more than him, but, like, he was more comfortably than him, perhaps. You know what I mean? Because, like, that generation was just, like, they had higher levels of this sort of idea of what it is to be a man, and like, you wanted your son to be strong and not emotional and to be able to stuff your feelings, right? So like, I feel really bad for like the people in the older generations, because they have a really hard time with that sort of thing. speaking from a man's point of view and toxic masculinity specifically right now. But then I also see the perils of going too soft, like these younger generations. So the point is, you got to find the happy balance here, right? Anyways, okay, so that was my breakdown of it. I hope that cleared things up for you guys. Stephanie, specifically, I hope I addressed the film there. There actually wasn't a ton of occult symbolism. I was shocked. I thought we were going to see lots of, like, Saturnian stuff and all this kind of aliens and wild stuff, but that really wasn't what this movie was about. But it was released by Disney. It was propaganda. It was media creating reality, trying to push the idea of toxic masculinity into the subconscious of the masses. Whether right or wrong, that's up to you to decide. So let me know what you think. Hit me up on the socials, on Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. I got a lot of DMs to slide through. I'm way backed up on those. So if you shot me a message, give it some time. Give me a few weeks. So I'm on Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. I'm on Twitter, at Illuminati Eyes. And I'm on Facebook, Illuminati Watcher and Isaac Weishaupt. And until next time, stay woke.